in Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 in just a moment, but I want to give you a little bit of background of what's taking place. The Apostle Paul has gone to the city of Ephesus. There is a group of believers there, but they are somewhat confused. And if you are familiar with the story of Apollos going there before him, I think it would help you to understand their confusion. Paul goes there, and the Lord's using him to get them straightened out on some things. As we get down to verse 12, well, look at verse 11, and the Bible says this: God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now I want you to notice, these are special miracles by the hands of Paul. These are not something that are normal, ordinary, everyday things that the Lord does. And there's something that he did especially here through the Apostle Paul there. If somebody tells you to send them some money and they'll send you a handkerchief or something like that, I certainly would encourage you not to do so. Amen. Please don't do things of that nature. There's a lot of charlatans out there. The Apostle Paul was not a charlatan. But I want you to notice, at the end of verse 12 it says, "And the evil spirits went out of them." Now that brings me to my text for this evening, verse 13. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews," vagabond means they're roving, traveling about, "exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And so here they are, they're traveling about the country, and they're professing to be able to cast devils out of people. They see that the Apostle Paul, the Lord through him, is casting evil spirits out of people. And so they decide, they think that he's doing it in the name of Jesus. They assume that it's just a magical formula. And so they undertake to do the same thing. But they did not know the Lord. Notice they said, "We adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." Not that we know, not that we believe in. All we know is that Paul's preaching him. And then it says, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Now this evening I'm going to preach a little while on dangers of dabbling in the occult. Dangers of dabbling in the occult. I looked up the word occult in preparing this message on dictionary.com, and they defined the occult as any system claiming use or knowledge of secret or supernatural powers or agencies. Let me say that again. Any system claiming use or knowledge of secret or supernatural powers or agencies. And these systems, they would include, but they're not limited to, things like horoscopes, astrology, seances, fortune-telling, palm reading, witchcraft, and the list could go on and on and on, the different systems or different branches or forms or practices of those that are involved in the occult. Now, there's something about the mysterious lure of the occult that just draws people. Perhaps it's the possibility of obtaining knowledge that is out of the ordinary. It also claims to have the power to manipulate people. It claims to be able to guarantee people personal success. And even some branches of it assure people that they can communicate with their deceased loved ones or other deceased people. I know this, that in my late teen years, I yielded, thankfully not very long, but I did yield to the lure of the cult, and I dabbled in it a little bit by reading a few occultic books. I remember I purchased a couple of books and I read them, and it was talking about, you know, things about the occult and so forth. And also I participated in the conversation with some others who were not really involved in it, but they were being lured into it. The mystery of the occult, it just has that lure to it. It makes people, appeals to their curiosity, and they want to dabble in a little bit. And I thank God that He saved me before I did more than just dabble in a little bit. I thank God that He intervened before my curiosity took me any further than it did, and other than just reading a few books and talking to a few people that were also a little bit curious about it. In my ministry, I have on a few occasions encountered people who were involved with the occult. I'm sure that I've probably encountered, and we probably all have encountered people that were possessed of evil spirits, possessed of devils, and probably at times we did not even realize it. Sometimes we're suspicious of it. But I know of at least two times in my ministry in which it's very obvious that I was confronted by people or had to deal with people that were involved in the occult. One was whenever I was in Sudan. And we were over there, and we were having a meeting whereby in the daytime we were meeting primarily with pastors and their wives. And we were teaching things about the family, things that we take for granted. They were all new to them. And so we were teaching them things about the family. And there was this man that every day he would not come into the, it was kind of like a courtyard, but he'd walk down the side of it. And he would always be doing things to distract attention and disrupt things and just making some commotion. Every single day he would do it. And then we had a Sunday morning service. And I won't ever forget, I was in that Sunday morning service and I was preaching the sermon I was preaching on whose son is Jesus. And I was talking about the fact that he's the son of God and so forth, you know, and the son of man, and emphasizing that. But I was emphasizing this point that he is the son of God, emphasizing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church was full. It was a church larger than this one here. And it was full. All of a sudden that man came in the back, and he was causing a commotion, hissing like a snake. I mean, it was just something eerie about it. And the missionary that I was with and some other national pastors there, they went back there and they literally pinned that man on the floor, and they began praying over that man. And I just kind of clapped my hands and told the people, said, listen, look at me, don't worry about that. And I kept on preaching. And at the end of the service, that man came up and professed faith in Christ. And the rest of the time we were there, he would come to the meeting to be a participant, but not to disrupt it. And the national pastor said, this is a man possessed of the devil. And the devil left him as we were praying over him there. And I have no doubt about that. It was an unusual experience. Now, another time was dealing with a teenage girl. This is when I was in Alabama. And this girl, she was probably about 17, 18, something like that. But she had run away from home to be involved in a group that was involved in the occult. And she had reached a point where she was seeking to escape. But she was afraid. She was really terrified of what would happen if they called her. And somehow, I think she came by the church, or I ran into her somewhere. Anyway, somehow our paths crossed, and she was terrified about that. She was telling me her story. And I talked to her, and I told her, I said, well, you know, first of all, we need to call your parents, and you need to go home. You need to do that. And we did call her parents, and I bought her a bus ticket and ended up taking her to the bus station. I got my sister pastor to go with me. I called him and said, come down here. I didn't want to be, you know, riding around with a young lady by myself. I said, come on, I need you to go with me. And we took that young lady to the bus station and put her on the bus and sent her home to her parents. But in the process of that, I had the privilege of leading her to Christ. And I won't ever forget, as I was sharing the gospel with her, and I was telling her how the Lord loved her and how the Lord died on the cross of Calvary for her, and here's what she said repeatedly as I was talking to her about how much the Lord loved her. She kept saying this, they never told me that. And I'd talk a little bit, she'd say, they never told me that. And I'd talk a little bit more, and she'd say, they never told me that. And she ended up accepting the Lord as her Savior. Now, there was two cases, one where I believe a man was actually possessed, and the other where that this girl was just caught up in something and it was about to destroy her life. Now, from the story that we have before us here in my text, we discover some things. And that's what I want to talk to you about, some things that we discover, some dangers and some truths about dabbling in the occult. First thing I want you to get down is this. The occult is very real. It's very real. In this story, there is a man, the Bible says, in whom the evil spirit was. He was what we call demon-possessed, even though the word demon is not really in the Bible. It uses the word devil or devils or evil spirits, things of that. But the English word demon is not actually in the Bible at all. But we usually refer to a person that's possessed with a devil or an evil spirit, we say he's demon-possessed. And that's what's taking place here. This man, the Bible says, there is an evil spirit that is dwelling in him. Now, an evil spirit is nothing more than a fallen angel. That's what an evil spirit is. And that's what ghosts are and what spirits are that supposedly haunt places or communicate with people or communicate through people. All, what they are is they're fallen angels, angels that have followed Satan in his rebellion against the Lord. You know, people say, I communicated with the dead. No, what you didn't realize, what you'll realize is you're communicating with the devil. Or they say, you know, this place is haunted. They think that somebody was murdered there or something like that, or somebody lived there years ago. And I guess about every area of the South has their ghost stories. Along the coast that I was raised up in, all kinds of ghost stories there. Alice's Grave is one of the big ones there, and that used to be a big thing when I was a teenager, you know, dare to go to Alice's grave at night and things of that nature. All they are is they're fallen angels. Some years ago, I was in Dothan, Alabama, and I was in a shoe store. And this man, he worked there, he came up to me and he started talking to me. And he's talking about this old house that he had bought and he was living in. And he said he had been told that it was haunted by these people that lived there years ago. I don't remember what the story was behind them, but why they were holding the place. But he says, I hear them at night. And he was just going on and he was telling about how he lived in this haunted house and how, you know, how eerie it was to live in that place. And he finally, I'm just sitting there or smoking there trying to look at the shoes, and he's just following me around telling me this stuff. And finally he said, what do you think about it? And I said, I think you're dealing with the with devils. And he said, no sirree. He said, these are people that used to live in that house. Everybody knows about that in the community. You know, it's old stories. And he said, I know that those are the people. I said, no, sir. I said, you are dealing with devils. I said, according to the Word of God, you're dealing with devils that have deceived you into thinking that there's somebody that used to live in that house and has died and gone on to wherever they went. I said, but you're dealing with devils. And he said, no, he wanted to argue. I said, no. I said, there's no argument. From the Word of God, I know you're dealing with devils. And when I left the store, I didn't buy anything, but he walked over to somebody else that worked there, and I heard him tell him, said, I was telling him about my house, and he said I was dealing with devils. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And I thought, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. That's all those things are, is they're fallen angels. And they are very real. Now, throughout the Gospels, you'll find that the Lord Jesus was confronted devils, people possessed with devils. And you'll find in the book of Acts that also that the apostles confronted people that were possessed of devils. And that's what's taking place here. I want you to understand this. The occult is something that is very real. It's very real. Now, the second thing I want you to see from the story is this. The occult is also something that is often counterfeited. It's counterfeited. Everything and everybody that claims to be of the occult is not real. A lot of times, they're counterfeits. And here, in this case here, we see these vagabond Jews, that is, those that they traveled around, and it says they professed to be exorcists. That is, they said they had the power to cast out evil spirits, cast out devils, and so forth. These men, obviously, are counterfeits. They're pretending to be something to take advantage of the superstitions of the people. And that's what they're doing. Now, seven of these fellows, the Bible says, were sons of a man by the name of Sceva, chief of the priest. And I find that interesting. The priest, I'm assuming, would have. If he not was not, he certainly should have been familiar with the Old Testament. And hopefully he had, if not he should have, at least told his sons what it said about dabbling in the practices of the occult. And assuming that he did, they were completely ignoring what the Bible says. Now, let me just give you a few examples of this. Look back at the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, listen at verses 9 to 14. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 and following. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, he's going to talk about some things here, and he says, these are abominable things. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, that is, that sacrifice your children. The followers of Baal literally burn their children alive as offerings to Baal. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, all of these things that have been mentioned there are occultic practices. He says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, now get this, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. He says, I'm driving these people out because of that kind of stuff. Don't you get involved in it when you go there. Now, sadly, they ended up getting involved. And here are seven sons of a priest that are involved in that. Now, just a couple of more passages, and there's several others we can look at. But look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And look at verse 31. Just one verse of Scripture. It says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And in chapter 20 and verse 6, the Bible says, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, I am convinced that these guys here in our text in Acts 19, that they were fakes. They were pretending to be involved in pretending to be able to cast out the devils. But they really were not. They were dabbling in the thing, and they were using it to deceive people and to make some money and so forth there. And that's the way most fortune tellers are. And that's what most palm readers are. And most mediums, that is people that, you know, supposedly talk to the dead talks through them and so forth there. And so many other things, tarot card readers, all that mess. Most of them are fake. Now, not all, because remember, the occult is real. But most of them are fake. It's interesting that the evil spirit in this man had no idea who these seven guys were. If they had been the genuine exorcist, I believe that he would have known who they were. But he had no idea who they were. But the evil spirit in this man, he did know who Jesus was. And apparently he was probably trying to avoid him, and he did know who the Apostle Paul was. And I would imagine he was trying to avoid him as well, because there, as we saw back in verse 12, by the instrument of the Apostle Paul, the evil spirits were being cast out of people. And so he was aware of Jesus, he was aware of Paul. He said, I don't even know you guys that claim to be basically have the power to cast spirits like me out. They were fake. And that's the way it is. There's a lot of false occultic practices out there. This has been years ago. I'm sure that this would not go over today, all right? This has been not simply years, decades ago. But there was a, I'll not even give you the location where it was, but it was an area where there was a lot of superstition. And these people were convinced that somebody could put a hex on them. You know, and this doctor, he said people would come to him and they'd say that somebody had put a spell on them or put a hex on them. And said to them it was very real, they're scared to death. And he said, what I'll do is, he said, I'll say, I've got something here to help you, but it's going to be rather painful. And he said, I'd give them a shot. And this shot said it would just make them feel like they were on fire for a little while. He said it really was rather uncomfortable. He said, just feel like we're on fire. He said, but it didn't last very long. And I would tell him that was the hex being broken, the spell being broken. And he said, you know what? After probably 30 seconds of that, a minute or so, he said, they were all right. He said, they convinced that I had broken the spell. The truth of the matter was, there was never a spell on him. And he certainly was not able to break the spell with that. And he realized that he was faking, deliberately faking, to be the real thing in order to try to get through the superstitions of the people in that area. But there's a lot of that fakery going on. And a lot of it is to take advantage of people. There's a lot of that going on. That's what I believe is going on here. Now, also, I want you to see something else about the occult here. And that is this. There are a lot of people that dabble in the occult. A lot of more people than we probably think dabble in the occult. In fact, you may be guilty of dabbling in the occult and don't even realize it. Because you never thought about it. But there are a lot of people that dabble in the occult. Look at verse 19, Acts 19 and verse 19. After this event, it says this, Acts chapter 19 and verse 19, verses 18 and 19, I should say. It says, and many that believed, that is, they trusted in the Lord, they came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them also which used curious arts, that is, they're dabbling in the occult. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So there's a lot of people there in that city of Ephesus that are involved in the cult to different degrees. They've got books about it. They're reading the books and so forth. They are dabbling in the occult. But when they got saved, they said, we need to get rid of this and we need to burn it. We need to burn it. I remember many years ago when I was an associate pastor over in a church in Alabama, there was a man, he was a bank executive, and he got saved. And he had done a good bit of traveling, and somewhere in his travels, he had gotten these idols. Just had them as souvenirs, and he had them in his house. And whenever he got saved, I won't ever forget what he did, he went home and he burned those idols. He said, I never believed that they were anything to them. He said, but the fact that they are idols, that they are things that people worship in some countries that I've been to, he said, I don't want them around. And he burned them. I think he was a very wise man to do so. Very wise man to do so. He wanted to make sure that he was not dabbling in the occult. Now, I said this, you may have dabbled in the occult, may even be dabbling in the occult and not realize it. Let me ask you this. Do you read your horoscope? Huh? That's occultic. I think a lot of it is fake, but it's still occultic. If you do that, you're dabbling in the occult. I've known Christians that, you know, just out of curiosity, they say, I think I'll go to a fortune teller. I remember there was a fortune teller outside of Myrtle Beach. I actually knew the fortune teller's children, a couple of them. And I used to think, man, I'd like to go to the fortune teller. Problem is, I wasn't willing to pay the money to go. Amen. but you know what? I had that curiosity. And people do things like that. I've known Christian people that just go and say, I just want to see what it's like. You're dabbling in the occult. Whenever you do those type of things, you need to stay away from that kind of junk. Amen? Stay away from it. Now, there's a lot of people that dabble in it. And in Ephesus, there was a lot of people there that was dabbling there in the occult. Now, a fourth thing I want you to get is this. It is very dangerous to dabble in the occult. Very dangerous. Here are these seven sons of Sceva. And they're dabbling in the occult just by faking being exorcists. But they're dabbling around, playing around with the cult. They thought, man, we're making money at this thing. But I want you to notice what happens to them. Look at verses 15 and 16. And the evil spirit, here they've actually come into a man that is possessed with an evil spirit. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was did what? The man leaped on them and overcame them. Can you imagine that? One man overcoming seven men and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This man's got supernatural strength because he's possessed of a supernatural power. And seven men, he takes and he prevails over seven men. And I can visualize them, what's going on. I can just imagine walking down the street and you don't know what's going on in that house maybe, but all of a sudden you just hear a commotion in there. Kind of like dogs fighting a wildcat. All right. And it sounds like, the house is going to just be torn apart. And you don't know what's going on in there, but what's happening is there's one man possessed with an evil spirit, and he is clawing and gnawing, and just seven other men, and they're doing their best to get away, and he is so powerful that they can't hardly get away. And you'd stop and you'd look, just listen, you'd say, my goodness, what's going on in that house? Lamps breaking, furniture getting knocked over, people screaming, wonder what this devil-possessed man, what he would be sounding like. And all of a sudden, the door opens, and here comes seven fellas running out of there, and their clothes are just ripped to shreds, so they're considered naked. And they're bruised and scratched and bleeding all over there. That's the scene there. But why did this happen? Because these fellas were dabbling in the occult. And they never thought it was going to backfire on them like this. But it did. And it's a dangerous thing. When I think about this man here overcoming these seven fellas, it reminds me of another man that was possessed of an evil spirit. The demoniac of Gadara. You read about him in Luke chapter 8. And the Bible says they would bind him with chains. They'd just break him. They couldn't even bind him with chains. That's powerful. That's powerful. But you see how it backfired on him. So to dabble in something like that, just being a little bit curious or even faking it, something like that, man, you're opening the door. You don't know what the result's going to be. Now, whenever I was coming up, a lot of parents would buy their kids Ouija boards. I was never allowed to have a Ouija board. Never. And I have to say, there was some curiosity about that. But, whether there's anything to it or not, you're still dabbling in the occult. And, you go and you get these little play eight balls and stuff like that, or fortune-telling balls. All you're doing is whetting the curiosity of people. It's best to just stay completely away from it. Amen? So it's a dangerous thing to dabble in the occult. Now, the next thing I want you to see is this, that Christians should not play with the devil, but also should not fear him. We should not play with the devil, but we also should not fear him. I do not believe that a Christian can be possessed of the devil. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and I do not believe that an evil spirit can indwell a person that is indwelt by the Spirit of God. But I do believe that the devil can oppress a Christian. And I believe there's a lot of Christians out there that are oppressed of the devil. Demonic oppression, they can't see the bright side of anything. They're just plagued with things. And you see a lot of that. But I do not believe that we can be inhabited or possessed by a devil, but we can be oppressed. So it's wise, listen, if you want to avoid oppression, don't say, well, I cannot be inhabited by a devil, possessed by a devil, so I can flirt with it, I can play around in it. No, you can be severely oppressed. You can be severely oppressed. And obviously, Paul had cast out evil spirits, and these men, they're trying to imitate him, and though they were not believers themselves, they were trying to imitate the Apostle Paul. They were playing around with the devil, and they paid a price for it. Now, we know this, that the Apostle Paul had done that in that city, because in the verse 12 says, the evil spirits went out of them, And we know that he had done that prior to this because you go back to chapter 16 and you see there in the city of Philippi, this is what got him in so much trouble in Philippi. But in verse 16 it says, in Acts 16, verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She could divine, she could tell the future and so forth, tell fortunes. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And as a result of that, the girl's masters were upset because they had been using her to make money. But the Apostle Paul, he was able to cast the spirits out. But it was not something that he took lightly. He did not dabble in the matter. When he was confronted with them, he did not fear them. But he did not go around looking for them and playing around in the matter of playing around with the devil. That's a dangerous thing. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, it seems like the evil spirit was fleeing from the Apostle Paul. He says to these guys, he wasn't running from the seven sons. He wasn't doing that. He said, I don't even know who you are. He said, I tell you what, I do know who Jesus Christ is that Paul preaches. And I do know who Paul is. And I want to stay away from him as much far as I can. Because he realized this, if I have an encounter with him, he's probably going to cast me out of this man. And the devil did not want to do it. Think about the demonic of Gadara. And what happened? The devil's begged him, don't torment us before the time. So he allowed him to cast him into the swine. And the swine ran off the cliff and drowned themselves there. I'm trying to get us to say, just because we cannot be possessed does not mean that we ought to play with the devil. We shouldn't walk around in fear and trembling and scared all the time that the devil's going to get me. But we also don't want to take the devil lightly and play with him there. The Bible says this in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Resist him. All right? I'm not going to play around with him. I'm not going to go and say, hey, I know you can't get me. And so I'm going to have some fun with you. I'm not going to do something like that. That'd be as foolish as, playing with a serpent because you didn't think he'd bite you. No, it's a dangerous thing. And I believe it is dangerous to even intellectually delve into the occult, for doing so will stimulate your curiosity. It's very easy. As a Christian, there's some people, their whole ministries have been built on the occultic practices and so forth. And that's about all they teach and all they preach on there. And I think it's very dangerous to do a lot of reading in this area. I've got some books about demons and so forth like that. I don't know when the last time I sat down and read one. But I think it's very dangerous because what it does is it stimulates curiosity. Years ago, I was very involved in the Christian education movement back around 1979, 1980, something like that. And I remember that accelerated Christian education was a big thing. And the school that I was at, they used the AC curriculum in some of their rooms. And I had to go out to Dallas, Texas to go through the training. And I went out there, and the gentleman that was over ACE, accelerated Christian education at that time, he talked to us and lectured us some and so forth there, but I will never forget, one of the things that they warned us of is this. They said, now, what you'll find is, he says, is a lot of people, they're bringing in ex-drug addicts, and they come in and they let them speak to their teenagers, and they tell them about, how they were drug addicts and so forth, and what different drugs would do. He said, don't ever do that. He said, don't ever do that. He said, because all you're doing is this, is you are feeding the curiosity of your kids. And I will never forget, whenever he was telling that, I thought, he is right. Because whenever I was a lost teenager, I can remember very well going to the library of Myrtle Beach High School, and they had an ex-drug addict there. He was traveling around with some policemen and so forth. And they had this board up there with all these different drugs on it. And he was telling the dangers of these drugs and about his life in the drug world and how you should never get involved in that. And I can remember after it was over with, my friends and I, some of us talking about it, said, man, well, I'd try that. That'd be interesting. I never thought about that. It stirred our curiosity. And I believe the same thing can happen if you start delving intellectually into this matter of the occult. You know, the Bible doesn't delve into it a lot. It just says there was a man possessed of the devil, you know, and the devil was cast out. But it didn't go into a lot of gory details about things, does it? And one of the things that verifies this in my mind is this. When I was a pastor in Alabama, I had this preacher called, and he did a lot of preaching on occultic practices. And we had a tent meeting, and he made a big deal out of, you know, he's going to preach on these things about demon possession and so forth like that. And he had a book table in the back, and he had books on there and of his writings on this stuff. And people go by and buy the books and everything. Well, it was a few years, probably 2 or 3, 4 years after that. I had a young man in the church, and he got into a lot of trouble. And then he came back to the Lord, and I was talking to him one day, and he said, I'm going to tell you where it started. He said, it started in that meeting. I said, what? How could it start in a meeting? He said, preacher, he said he was talking about the devils, the evil spirits, and all that stuff, and their powers and what they could do. He said, I got one of those books back there, and I read that book, and he said it just stirred up a curiosity in me, and I started delving into that stuff, and he said, that's where I went astray. And I thought, would to God I had never done that. Would to God I had never done it. And that's why I say it is dangerous to intellectually delve into the occult, because what it will do, it will stimulate your curiosity. And even if it doesn't stimulate yours, you may leave that book lying around or whatever, and then stimulate the curiosity of your child or your grandchild. You never know. Let's just take what the Bible says, know that it's real, and we're not going to tremble in fear at the devil, but we're not going to play around with him either. Amen? We're not going to play around with him. Now, in conclusion, I just want to close this. We do not have to be afraid of the devil and his devils. We do not have to do so. They should, as this devil was here, they should be afraid of us. Amen? So we don't have to be afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of devils, evil spirits, whatever you want to call them. But at the same time, we do not want to foolishly give him what the old timers called a toehold in your life by adhering to just seemingly innocent superstitions. You know, things like a black cat crossed the road. I've known people, professing Christians, if a black cat crossed the road, they'd almost wreck that car to keep from going, turning it around before they'd go any further down that road. You know, things like walking under a ladder or you broke a mirror, somebody sweeping under your feet, something like that. No, we're not going to foolishly give the devil a toehold in life by adhering to these seemingly innocent superstitions or reading horoscopes or any other thing that's related to the cult. Just stay away from it. Amen? If you ever are confronted by someone possessed of a devil, listen, don't be afraid. You know the Lord. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. But at the same time, I tell you what, I'm not going to go out there and start looking for people to cast devils out of. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to start doing a lot of research on the occult and so forth there. I'm not going to do that. I believe that's a very dangerous thing. I cannot be possessed, but I do believe I could be oppressed. I could be oppressed by the devil just by delving in those things, dabbling in them. So don't dabble in anything related to the occult. Could I get an amen? All right. Amen. All right, let's stand for just a moment. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We won't have any music for an invitation, but if you want to get on the altar for a moment,